Thanks for joining us at Keys for SLPs, opening new doors for speech-language pathologists to better serve clients throughout the lifespan, a weekly audio course and podcast from SpeechTherapyPD.com. I'm your host, Mary Beth Hines, a curious SLP who embraces lifelong learning. Keys for SLPs brings you experts in the field of speech-language pathology, as well as collaborative professionals, patients, and caregivers, to discuss therapy strategies, research, challenges, triumphs, and career opportunities. Engage with a range of practitioners, from young innovators to pioneers in the field, as we discuss a variety of topics to help the inspired clinician thrive.
Each episode of Keys for SLPs has an accompanying audio course on SpeechTherapyPD.com, available for 0.1 ASHA CEUs. We are offering an audio course subscription special coupon code to listeners of this podcast. Type the word KEYS for $20 off. With hundreds of audio courses on demand and new courses released weekly, it's only $59 per year with the code word KEYS. Visit SpeechTherapyPD.com and start earning ASHA CEUs today. Welcome to this episode of Keys for SLPs, Keys to Starting a Dysphagia Support Group as Part of a Private Practice. I am Mary Beth Hines. Before we get started, we have a few items to mention. Here are the financial and non-financial disclosures. I am the host of Keys for SLPs and receive compensation from SpeechTherapyPD.com. Kristen Winter is the owner of a private practice. She receives an honorarium from SpeechTherapyPD.com for her appearance on this episode. She is the co-facilitator of Dysphagia Digest, endorsed by the National Foundation of Swallowing Disorders. And now, here are our learning objectives for today. 1, explain the purpose of a dysphagia support group. 2, develop a plan to start a dysphagia support group. And 3, identify 3 positive outcomes resulting from a dysphagia support group. And now we welcome our guest today, Kristen Winter, MED, CCC, SLP. Kristen has specialized in treating adults with speech and swallowing deficits for over 20 years. She received her master's degree from Florida Atlantic University and her bachelor's degree in speech pathology from the University of Florida. She received ACE awards for the past 4 years from ASHA for exceeding the requirement for continuing education hours, earning 70 plus per period. Kristen will be presenting at her Florida State Board's annual conference in Daytona Beach this summer. Kristen works closely with people with head and neck cancers, voice problems, and Parkinson's disease. She is passionate about advocating and educating her patients, their caregivers, and their families, which led her to facilitate the Dysphagia Digest of Florida support group for people with swallowing impairments. All right. Well, welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Well, we are so happy to have you here. It was so fun to meet you at ASHA. And one of my favorite things about going to ASHA and meeting people from all over the country is learning about new things that I have not been aware of. I actually interviewed someone a couple years ago who had a dysphagia support group at a university clinic, but I had never heard of anyone having one as part of a private practice.
Yes, it's been fantastic. We started in 2020 and it's just grown ever since. So it's just been a real passion of mine for several years now.
Well, that is wonderful. So tell us about your journey as an SLP and what led you to start the Dysphagia Digest of Florida.
Sure. So I think probably like many people working with adults, you know, I've worked in hospitals, acute care settings, SNFs, home health. I think I've pretty much done it all. And I was the lead speech pathologist at my local hospital for many years. And in 2020, I decided to start my own private practice in my town. And of course, as many of you all know, that was during the pandemic. And I was just really seeing that there was a need for outpatient speech therapy in my community. So I met a friend of mine, Maggie Doniker, who ran what was the Dysphagia Digest of Sarasota. Florida, which is over on the West Coast. I am on the East Coast over in Stuart, Florida. So we actually met at a conference, at a fees conference, a fee swallow study conference just before the pandemic. And we met there, kept in touch, spoke a bit through LinkedIn, and she asked me if I would like to be the co-facilitator of her Dysphagia Digest group. So I ran a stroke support group at the hospital for 10 years. So I had quite a bit of experience running a support group. And just in our, you know, many conversations, that's just sort of how that sort of segued into, you know, her asking me to help her out. And we really just saw a need on the East Coast and West Coast of Florida and wanted to open it up to everyone in Florida. So that's really how it all began.
Well, that is wonderful. So are most of your, the people in the support group, are most of them part or have been part of your two private practices, or are you getting people from all over the state?
So, you know what, it's honestly a little bit of both. So we both do encourage our patients in our practices that have dysphagia to join the group. But we've also done quite a bit of marketing to head and neck cancer or cancer centers, other hospitals, nurse practitioners that we know, case managers that we have, you know, some great relationships with. And so we've done a bit of marketing to them, and then they also refer people to our group. We also have a website, dysphagiadigest.com, and we have had a few people reach out, just found us on Google, and then found the website and have joined the group just through our website.
Well, what a wonderful resource to the people of Florida. Now, can you join if you are not in Florida?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Our speakers, I mean, often sometimes are out of state. So anyone can join. We are just based out of Florida.
Okay. Well, that's great. Okay. So tell us about the mission of the Dysphagia Digest of Florida.
Sure. So really our mission is to assist and support and just really to provide that camaraderie for those with dysphagia. You know, we have found that most of the people in our group that stay in the group for, you know, months and years on end now do have, you know, head and neck cancers. They truly have more of that long-term dysphagia. But, you know, we also have others with strokes and Parkinson's disease, MS, and some other, you know, neurological type disorders. But we call ourselves a support group, but we also like to frame it sometimes to people that we are more like a workshop, an educational workshop where you can come, ask questions, you know, ask the speech pathologist questions or ask the speakers and the group questions. And then those that are, you know, in the group also provide support as well. So, you know, we both have learned through the years that some people are a little bit hesitant to come to a support group, that, you know, they don't want to be in a group where, you know, people are, you know, upset or really, you know, sharing sad stories. But again, just to be able to provide that camaraderie and that common link that they all share. And, you know, many times everyone's, you know, laughing and just really having a wonderful time and, you know, support each other, you know, on Zoom and then even off Zoom, you know, they might call each other or email and ask questions. So it's just really been a fantastic resource for, you know, our people in Florida with dysphagia.
Well, that is great. Now tell us a little bit about the format.
So we meet on Zoom. We have asked our group members if they'd like to meet in person, but oddly enough, everyone that's been in the group has been happy just to stick with the Zoom format. So we meet for an hour and a half. So we meet from 6:30 at night until 8 Eastern Standard Time. And we have had people join from other time zones. And we found that the hour and a half is really needed, especially if we have a speaker. And so the speaker might speak for anywhere from, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes. And then we like to leave a lot of time for questions. And then sometimes the speaker, you know, might, you know, say goodbye and wish everyone well. And then the people in the group stay on. And then that's where they get to, you know, chat and again, you know, sort of provide that support from one another, you know, ask about, you know, what's gone well since the last month, what hasn't gone well. What have you learned? Do you have anything new to share? And even sometimes, even after that hour and a half, you know, we have to kind of shut it down and
right.
You know, be very, very aware of people's times and honor that, and not go too much past our 8 p.m. But we've just found that that hour and a half time is just a good amount of time. And occasionally people, you know, join late or leave a little early, and that's fine too.
Well, that's great. Okay, so it is led by two SLPs, or do you tag team? One does 1 month and one does the next?
No. Yeah, so typically almost every month it is both of us on. And then we have other speech pathologists that love to join as well, especially when we bring speakers that are promoting products or services or things like that. We often get other SLPs that join. And then we'll even ask, you know, them if they'd like to add anything, or sometimes some of the people in the group, you know, ask them their opinion on things. So, yeah, it's great. We've had grad students participate, undergraduate SLP students that are just wanting to learn a bit. So we really, you know, welcome everyone.
Well, that is great. Now you mentioned speakers. So do you have a speaker every single month?
No, you know, so that varies too. I would say 6 out of the 12 months out of the year, we have a speaker. You know, sometimes, and we've gotten some feedback and we've surveyed, you know, some of the members in the group. Sometimes they do just like to get on and really just chat, you know, some of them with peg tubes might have questions or about their supplements that they drink by mouth, or that the tube feedings that they have. You know, they really just like to bounce things off and questions off one another. So that hour and a half too sometimes just goes by fast. You know, Maggie Doniker and I, you know, we often come with questions and with things to ask. But oftentimes one question leads to another, and then things just sort of organically evolve out of that. And then the conversations just always tend to flow. Some of the group members have been on, you know, some of them for, you know, 2 years and 3 years. So some of them have never even met in person, or actually, I don't think any of them have met in person.
Oh, really?
Like they know one another because they're on every month. So it's, you know, it's really great. You know, we usually start off with like a little introduction between Maggie and myself, and where we introduce the speaker. We might introduce some of the new people in the group or the new speech pathologists in the group. We always tell people, you know, sometimes they come with their video on, sometimes they leave it off. We tell them whatever you feel comfortable with. And if you don't feel like sharing, if you're just there to listen, that's perfectly fine too. We do have someone that attends pretty regularly, and she's told us on the sidebar that I'm just here to listen. So that's, you know, that's perfectly fine. So, you know, we found that just by leaving sort of that open format really just makes it very comfortable for everyone, and just it kind of allows those conversations just to evolve sort of organically within the conversation.
Wonderful. So what is the age range of the participants?
I would say, well, it's all adults. I would say typically they're around 35 to probably about 85 years old.
Okay. Okay. And on the younger end, what are their diagnoses?
We had one younger gentleman with a stroke. We did have someone on with MS, and sometimes they just they come on, you know, for a time or two and just say, okay, thank you so much. This is what I wanted to hear, you know, for tonight. And then we don't see them again. We do send out emails every month reminding everyone. We typically meet the third Thursday of every month. In February of 2024, we are meeting on the second Thursday of the month. But you know, we try to have it at a time too that is convenient for most people. We talk too about, well, should we move this to the, you know, during the daytime? And people have said no. You know, they're happy with meeting at night. But again, most of the participants do have some type of cancer, but not all. And the ones that are there with cancer, we sometimes have those with Parkinson's or strokes. They're always asking, you know, what are you doing? What's working well? And just everyone there with a swallowing disorder just communicates and just supports each other as best they can. It's
wonderful to have that support. So you mentioned the speakers. Can, for other people who are thinking, oh, this would be a great thing to add to my private practice, can you tell us about some of the speakers and some that have especially worked well, and maybe a type of speaker you would not suggest?
Yes. Well, so most recently, I'll give her a little shout out. We had Brooke Bielman, which a lot of people know her. She knows quite a bit, very well versed in head and neck cancer and lymphedema, radiation fibrosis syndrome. So we had her speak, and you know, they had lots of great questions there for her. We've had someone on from the tongueometer, from mobility. We had a prosthodontist on from Savor Ease. We've had Dr. Eric Blicker speak about acid reflux and LPR. So we've had a very, you know, big wide, you know, gamut of different speakers. We've had a social worker that provides counseling, and then, you know, left information available if anyone, you know, felt that they needed counseling. We've had a nutritionist. So, you know, for anyone that's thinking about starting their own dysphagia group, you really could almost, you could ask those speakers maybe even year after year, or get, you know, maybe someone else to speak year after year. But I think, you know, people like to hear, you know, from the speakers, from the experts in the field. And then they also just really like to hear, you know, what's the latest and greatest dysphagia modality or, you know, resource out there for me. You know, what can I talk to my speech pathologist about? What can I ask my doctor about? So, you know, they really enjoy that too. And we have a few of them that tell us, like, wow, you know, I wasn't told any of this, you know, when I was going through my treatments. I had no idea my swallowing was going to be, you know, this bad. I had no idea, you know, that I needed to be, you know, super vigilant about, say, brushing your teeth. You know, we talk a lot about oral care and brushing your teeth almost in every meeting, you know, because again, it's only 12 times a year that we meet, and we always have new people on, so we like to be sharing, you know, that same message, you know, just about, you know, having great oral care and brushing your teeth and how important that is in, you know, preventing aspiration pneumonia. So
exactly. How many people attend each meeting?
So it varies. Sometimes we have about six. I think this last time we had 20, you know, 25. It depends on, I think, the speakers, the interest level, you know, maybe even sometimes, you know, that night if a certain, you know, people can join. But it's always, again, it's always just a great group. And we love it too when graduate students, you know, come on, or even we've had someone, you know, interested in maybe becoming a speech pathologist, and just feel like it's a great learning opportunity all around.
Yes, it is. Yes. Do you have an affiliation with the University of Florida or with the university, or do the graduate students just find you?
Yes. No, I actually don't. We have reached out to the NISHLA group at the University of Central Florida, which is in Orlando. But, you know, honestly, Mary Beth, that's a good idea. Maybe that's something that, you know, that we should do. We have had other graduate students reach out and email us and say, oh, hey, do you mind if I jump on? I need to, you know, observe a few support groups. So that has happened. But, you know, there's quite a few universities in the state of Florida. So we, mm-hmm. very good idea. We should reach mm-hmm. out.
And as far as it's on Zoom online. So are there, as far as costs go, are there any costs that people should be aware of?
No. So we are a free group. Occasionally we have had someone, you know, who wanted to offer a donation, but no, we are free and open to the public.
Excellent. Okay. So you also mentioned that, you had a nutritionist at one point when we talked, uh-huh. come to the group. What did the nutritionist share with the group?
So she talked just a lot about the participants, maybe, you know, meeting with their own nutritionist, or their own dietitian, and just calculating, you know, if they're eating the correct amount of calories, if they're sustaining their nutrition, you know, if their weight has remained the same, if they're eating enough, you know, proteins, carbs and fats, or if they do have a feeding tube, you know, is it the right, you know, feeding tube supplement, or, you know, should they be supplementing, you know, oral supplements, just, you know, some different things like that. And they all had some great questions for her too.
That's wonderful. Okay. So how do you market and obtain referrals from other SLPs, physicians, nurse practitioners?
So we have brought our flyers, like I said earlier, to the local cancer center or to radiation oncology offices, and, you know, oncologists, GI physicians, ENTs, general practitioners. I've met with actually a few nurse practitioner groups. That's become you know, much more popular. We've gone to our local, like, Council on Aging and dropped off flyers. And then just reaching out to our local speech pathologists, whether they're in the hospitals or in outpatient settings. And just drop off flyers, and just, you know, ask them if they would please share. And people are always willing, you know, to share, so that, you know, others can receive that great support.
All right. Well, let's talk about some case studies. Over the course of 3+ years, you've had a lot of success, and a lot of people have gained a lot from being part of the group. I imagine that most of these people would not know other people with dysphagia necessarily. Would you say that's fair assessment?
Yes. Yes. I think a lot of these people do feel isolated, and they do feel like they are alone. And, you know, eating is so social, and it's just one of the most fun things that we do in our daily routine. And so when someone is not able to eat and drink like they used to, it, you know, it can be, you know, very saddening to them. And they really find just wonderful support, you know, talking to others about it, laughing, you know, maybe every once in a while shedding a tear. But, you know, it just really brings them all together and makes them feel like they're not alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's nothing like being able to talk to someone else who's gone through something similar that you've gone through. All right. So some case studies.
Okay. So one gentleman, most recently, when he first came to our group, he had a PEG tube. He was stage 4, base of tongue cancer, only having ice chips and water at home. And through, you know, his speech therapy, his home exercise program, going to a certified lymphedema therapist, receiving a tactile medical flexi touch pneumatic compression device, he was able to advance from PEG tube feeding all the way up to now having a minced and moist diet and then liquids. And, you know, he admitted to me privately that he almost felt guilty, you know, sharing that story with the group. But, you know, I told him, no, the members of the group are so happy. You know, they want to share, you know, your positive experience. They want to cheer you on. And so he did share. And then he got his, you know, his feeding tube removed, you know, by his doctor. So he was very happy to, you know, to share that. And everyone in the group really, really was happy. There are some that still have feeding tubes, you know, and they eat a little bit, you know, pleasure feeds by mouth. I just love how the group just, you know, supported him and lifted him up in his, you know, his great accomplishment. So that was
That's great. Now he was, tell us about the tactile, what did you mention the tactile?
Pneumatic compression device. So it is a vest, device, vest over on the chest.
Okay.
And over the head. And I don't work for them, so I hope I can explain.
No, that's okay. I think it'll be interesting to people.
Right. So it is a pneumatic compression device that is attached to a pump that provides like pillows of air and helps to slowly move that lymphedema and that fluid away, you know, possibly from the cheeks, from the submental area, you know, from the neck, and then from the chest, and divert it to the armpits. So the participants wear that. I think it's for 27 minutes. They encourage people to wear that 2 times a day. And he's had just really, really great results. He also, you know, he does some of his own, you know, manual lymphatic drainage himself, but then he also, you know, wears the vest and the headpiece 2 times a day and just really, you know, again, had just super success with that.
Wow, that's wonderful. So was he in feeding and swallowing therapy?
Yes. He was with me. Yes, he was my patient actually. So yes, he came to me twice a week for about 12 weeks. And he was, you know, a snowbird. So in Florida, we have snowbirds where people, you know, live up north and then, you know, they come down to sunny Florida for a few months. So he would go back up north and then visit his doctors for about 3 to 4 weeks. And then, so the therapy would halt and stop for a little while. He was great at doing his home exercise program. And then he would come back and we would start up again. But, you know, very, very proud of him. You know, so much of it is what he did, but, you know, I hope that I was a little part in just educating him and empowering him to just be super strong and, you know, fight for his recovery. And he did. So very proud.
That is so exciting. And so how long have you been treating him?
It was about a year, a little over a year. But again, okay, on and off a bit with just with those little bit of breaks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so nice that he was able to share his story with the rest of the group and they supported him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Congratulations on being part of that team.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, how about another one?
The others in the group, you know, have similar stories and have head and neck cancer. I mean, I'll tell you, the ones I'm thinking of, they Some of them are still, you know, they still have feeding tubes, but they have pleasure, you know, they're able to eat and, you know, have pleasure feeds as well. But we had one gentleman that had aspiration pneumonia 3 times in about an 8-month period. And then he came to our group and we talked to him a lot about, you know, brushing your teeth even 3 times a day, you know, not just the morning and night, but, you know, morning, you know, afternoon, and then, you know, at night before you go to bed, using a, you know, a great quality mouthwash. And he felt that just by us telling him that, you know, keeping up with his walking routine and staying physical, he didn't get aspiration pneumonia again. So, you know, we hope to say, you know, maybe that was another one of our success stories. But he said, you know, he said over and over, you know, to new people that joined the group, like, I didn't know just how important that was. Everyone knows, yes, of course, you need to brush your teeth twice a day. But for him, I think brushing, you know, 3 times a day or every time after he eats, you know, he's got to, you know, brush his teeth. He pretty much did a Fraser-free, you know, water protocol where he would brush his teeth and then, you know, have water at home as well. You know,
did he say before the group, did he say how many times a day he was brushing his teeth before that?
He would say twice. He would definitely say twice. He was up to 3, sometimes 4 or 5. And we talked to him too, just about being more physical and getting exercise and walking and, you know, helping that lymphatic system too. And so he took up a great walking routine. And so he really feels that, you know, those two things added to his daily routine just, you know, helped prevent that aspiration pneumonia, because he's definitely a chronic aspirator, functional aspirator. So he knows that he does, but he wants to, you know, still consume, you know, food and drinks on occasion when he can. And so now he just feels so much better equipped to do that, where he didn't feel as equipped prior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are your current or future projects or plans?
So we continue to meet in 2024. We have a few speakers lined up. Actually, though, Maggie Doniker, who some people know, she is pregnant.
How exciting.
Yes, next month. So she'll be out of the group for a few months or so. So I actually have my CF that's starting with me actually in about 2 weeks here. She will be my co-facilitator. So I think it'll be wonderful. Just, you know, it'll be a great learning experience for her. You know, she'll, you know, ask some speakers and I'll have her really run the groups. And I just think that'll be, again, just a super opportunity for her to learn and how to, you know, better help those with dysphagia.
Well, that is great. And it's for the patients or people with dysphagia, but you do have some caregivers who participate as well?
Yes. So caregivers or spouses or even friends. Sure. Anyone.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you, Kristen Winters. We truly appreciate the information that you provided about Dysphagia Digest. And I think it's very helpful to other SLPs who own their own private practices, or maybe who, you know, work in another outpatient setting, that they would be interested in starting this group. You've given them a lot to go on, and it's a great way to support our community.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was great. I'm happy to share.
Well, thank you. Take care. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us here at Keys for SLPs, providing keys to open new doors to better serve our clients throughout the lifespan. Remember to go to speechtherapypd.com to learn more about earning ASHA CEUs for this episode and more. Thanks for your positive reviews and support. I would love for you to write a quick review and subscribe. Keep up the good work.